you guys. Happy Sunday. I don't actually know how many people are in there. Nobody's talking.
There's people in there.
Okay.
Oh, they're saying stuff.
Oh, okay. Maybe my chat is not, because I don't have anybody
coming
up in my chat.
Yeah, for some reason, you can't see
anything
in the chat.
Yeah, I don't know why. Oh, okay, there we go. There's Tammy.
Yeah,
it was just kind of like...
On the wrong setting.
No, it was on the right setting. It just...
Didn't refresh.
Yeah. It just did a brain fart. Or a chat fart, if you want to call it that.
Okay, the last duel.
Yeah, we had mentioned this, I think, on one of our older shows, and a couple of you said that it was really good, and so Dermot, one of our patrons and listeners...
Yeah, he's regular.
Sent us an Amazon gift card to buy it, so I did.
Yeah, got it on Blu-ray.
We had wanted to see this in the theater, but for whatever reason, we just didn't get around to it. I feel like...
COVID.
Well, no, because it played... We saw other movies around this time, like Halloween Kills came out around the same time, and Last Night in Soho, and stuff like that. Yeah, so I remember going to see a bunch of movies right around the time this came out, but we just didn't get around to seeing it.
Yeah.
And then, like, it really tanked at the box office, and then I kept seeing reviews saying, oh, this shouldn't have tanked because it's really good, and so finally we got around to watching it, and it actually is quite good.
Yeah, it's good. I would probably put this there with The Northmen. It's just the Norsemen. It's just a different story. It's not as hardcore. You know, it's not as ruthless, but this is like, it's taking place kind of in a more civilized time. It's still medieval, you know, between some knights and some lords, or that's a squire, and I guess the other guy is a duke. He's the king's son, or the king's, he's the king's cousin, isn't he?
Well, the count is.
He's a
Pierre,
count?
Ben
okay,
Affleck.
He's a count. Yeah, the Ben Affleck guy. Okay, I didn't know if he was a duke or whatever. He was a count.
He's
okay.
A count, yeah.
Because I don't think they ever called him by his title. If they did, I didn't realize that they were using it.
They just called him Pierre mostly, but yeah.
Yeah. So it's taking place in a more organized, civilized time than the Norsemen. But it's just as accurate. This is actually based on a historical event that actually happened.
That is actually quite well documented for something that happened in, I think it happened in like 1380 or something like that.
Yeah. Dude rapes a knight's wife. And the guy's linked up with this count. He's lower ranked than him. He's only a squire. But he's got a lot of political pull. And they could have let it go, but no, he wanted justice. But he couldn't get justice in the court. So he had to go to the church, and the church gave him fucking trial by ordeal or trial by duel, which I believe in all this shit. I believe in dueling, trial by duel, all that shit, okay? I don't necessarily mean it's based in reality. It's just another system. It's cultural to us, you know? If I was guilty, that's what I would want. I'd want to do trial by ordeal or something, you know? Anyway, goes to this fucking duel. And I didn't know who was going to win, so I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, we're not going to... I mean, this is based on a real thing.
Yeah, but I didn't look it up. Did you?
No, not before I watched it.
Right.
No.
I don't look it up if you don't know the answer.
Yeah,
because
it's more
not
fun
knowing was
yet.
A lot better. And then once I find out who won, I was like, oh, okay. But it's a pretty good character story, and it felt real authentic in terms of the way people were and the way they acted. And a lot of shit went down. A lot of people were the way I suspected them of being back in those days, just based on things that I had read and picked up, and things that you can kind of read between the lines, and you can go, you know, I bet those motherfuckers partied a lot. They did. The count was a bad dude, man. I mean, but he was not really a bad dude. He was a smart guy. He was worldly, but he didn't believe in any of that medieval shit. He knew it was just a false system that they were born with. He didn't really believe in much of it. He was real educated, but he just spent all his time partying and screwing fucking party girls. He'd have like four or five of them in the bed. They're all fucking doing each other, and he's asking, come on, let's get them, you know, that kind of shit. They were just fucking him, and they were just taking advantage, you know? When everybody else were following, or at least a lot of the other people were following the rules of the society. And
well,
that's what was interesting about this movie.
I mean, Ben Affleck's character, he's not like the main character.
No.
He's kind of like, he's not one of the like main three characters. He's kind of like a side character. Him and Matt Damon, along with Nicole Holofcener, I think is how you pronounce her last name. They're the ones that wrote the screenplay. And I think they each wrote their one, because this is kind of like, and pretty much every review you'll see of this has compared it to Rashomon. because this is basically it's the same series of events, but told from three different the different perspectives of the three different characters.
Yeah, everybody's kind of testimony is tinged with self-interest. You're not really sure. You pretty much. I think the woman's testimony was the most accurate.
Well, she certainly had the most to lose.
She had the most to lose, yes.
Yeah, so. So there really wasn't any reason for her to lie. And to be honest, there was more reason for her to, like, keep her fucking mouth shut. But right. She didn't want to. Yeah. You know, she had some balls, I gotta say. But it's just, it's really interesting because, like I said, I don't want to go into, like, the end or anything like that. This is based on a book, like a nonfiction book, obviously, that came out back in 2004. Which was called The Last Duel, a true story of trial by combat in medieval France. And like I said, I think among at least people that are, you know, real, you know, savvy or know a lot about medieval history, this is a pretty famous, because this was actually the last duel in France. And so it's kind of like famous and well known. And like I said, it's strange because for something that happened in the 14th century, there are tons and tons and tons, particularly of the duel itself, of first-hand witness accounts, like people that were there and saw the whole thing happen.
Yeah.
So they kind of, like, know a lot of what happened. The stuff leading up to it is, you know, less documented, but it's still pretty documented. The guy that wrote the book, apparently he went really into, like, looking at, so, like, property records and tax records and shit like that. And even though the reason for the duel is the rape of the wife.
Yeah.
It's not the thing that kicked off the two guys' rivalry, I guess. It was just kind of like the cherry on the shit sundae, if you want to say.
It was kind of coming. You could tell something bad was going to happen.
Yeah, because there was like they started out as friends.
Yeah,
They were both squires, and they were kind of like, they start out, the only criticism I would give to this movie is that if you're not familiar with, like, what war this is, I think it's one of the... It's during the Hundred Years' War, is it not?
Yeah, I think so. War of the Roses or something like that.
But, so if you're not real familiar with that, like, the first 15, 20 minutes kind of, like, jumps around a lot. Like, yeah, it jumps ahead, like, in time and stuff.
They were in Brittany, weren't they?
Yeah, see, I don't even remember. I mean, it's not super important, but
it's France.
It is, yeah.
It's the French. But it's on the continent.
It does take a little while to, like, get invested in the characters, just because they're... I mean, the movie's kind of long. I mean, I didn't think it was too long, but it's like 2.5 hours or whatever it is.
It kept my attention.
Yeah, it didn't seem like that long to me. It's not slow or anything. But I feel like Ridley Scott was trying to, like, fill in a bunch of, like, background material, like, real quick.
Yeah, it's Ridley Scott, by the way.
At the beginning. So, like, the first 15, 20 minutes, like I said, there'll be, like, a scene of, like, a battle or something that'll jump ahead, like, 6 years, and then there's, like, some other shit going on. So it takes a few minutes to, like, get your bearings. But once it starts getting into, because Matt Damon's character, whose name is Jean de Carrouge, it's his perspective, like, starts out, so you see everything from his point of view, like why Adam Driver's character, his name is Jacques Legris, how they started out as friends, they were in all these battles together, when they saved each other's lives, blah blah blah, and then this whole thing happened where Matt Damon felt like he was getting, like, shafted, which I guess he was in a way.
He was getting shafted. He was doing all that fighting and not getting very much reward for it.
And he was kind of getting, like, dissed.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was because Jacques Legris, Adam Driver's character, was friends with
the Count, played by
Ben Affleck, who was the king's cousin.
Yeah.
So he got a lot more favors. Plus, he was a lot more, even though he was also a shit, because, like, both of the guys in this are kind of, like, both kind of shits. But Adam Driver's character was more kind of like a rakish party boy. So he was a lot better at, like, schmoozing and being, being, like, more social butterfly. So people liked him more because he was charming, even though he was a whore. But, or, like, a slut or whatever.
Yeah. What the story is about is you got a dude, he's basically basic bitch. He's a basic bitch, really.
Yeah.
That's John. He believes in all this stuff. He's religious. He believes in the order. He believes in the government. He believes in everything. And he thinks it's all honest. Okay? he's kind of reading into the situation, though. You know what I mean? He's kind of, in some ways, projecting his honesty and belief in the system into other people. He's going out actually fighting and losing friends in fucking wars and battles. And when he gets back home, they kind of diss him for losing. Even though he didn't really, it wasn't his fault he lost.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he was fighting all, he was fucking fighting wars and shit. He wasn't getting much reward for it. And during this, while he's going out fighting wars, Jacques, he was Adam Driver's character, and the Count are partying up and just having orgies with all the fucking girls and stealing land from people, and they're living the fucking life, you know, and they're... And the difference between them is that John is just basic bitch, all right?
Well, he's a little humorless.
Doesn't have communication skills.
He does get fucked over, yeah. Like, you know, a land that was promised to him, like, right. When he married this woman, like, it was part of her dowry, and, like, the king sold it off to somebody else, and, like, so yeah. Shit happens to him where he does get fucked over.
Yeah.
But the way that he goes about writing that is probably not the best, most diplomatic way to do it.
Yeah, he doesn't have any verbal or social skills, really. He's real basic. And he doesn't have any political finesse. So he can't really represent himself in the social arena of the courts. When he goes there, he just tries to, hey, I'm working and you're not working. Well, that's not how you approach it. He didn't know how to approach it. Okay? He couldn't schmooze. Yeah, he couldn't use a fucking he couldn't use style and tact.
Well, he
wasn't raised like that. He's just real basic soldier.
A lot of times he was in the right.
He was in the right,
he was too blunt. He was
step
too
on his own dick.
Yeah.
He couldn't represent himself. He couldn't talk to the fucking to the educated class, even though they were basically the same class. It's just that the Adam Driver character, you know, Jacques and the Count, they could read and write Latin, and they could read all these books and entertain the girls and the dudes and have these fucking fantastic parties and then work J.C.U. or work things behind the scenes to get things done. And this other guy, he's like kind of like a basic soldier. All right. He did get knighted. And
yeah.
Later on, he knows he's getting fucked over. They're not calling him sir.
Yeah, and every even time though they were supposed to.
So he's getting more and more pissed that they're not calling him sir by his rank, which he felt that he earned. Well, he did earn it.
Yeah.
All right. And the dude that's really getting underneath his skin is his ex-buddy, who's still a squire, who hasn't been knighted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a big fucking show, big throwdown over this shit. And then it turns out later, his wife fucking says, that man raped me.
Yeah.
And he fucking blows his stack, he says, are you telling me the truth? You know, he's nearly beating her ass. Are you telling me the truth? Because she doesn't really see it from his point of view. He now has to go to war for her.
Well, he didn't have to. Yeah. That was one of the things.
He had to.
Well, no, but I mean, what I was going to say was that he didn't actually have to do the duel.
No.
But the thing about it was that the way that it worked out, because he had kind of like burned a lot of his bridges, and because he just went around constantly aggrieved and constantly suing people, like I said, even though technically he was in the right, the fact that he was just constantly complaining and interrupting people's parties and being like, hey, I'm suing the Count again,
yeah,
I'm suing
them, been lost
and shit like that. So he really kind of like burned his bridges. So then when it came up that his wife had been raped by Jacques Legree, he felt like he didn't have any recourse because he said, well, if I take it to the king or if I take it to the church, they'll probably like fuck me over.
Well,
because
they controlled the courts.
Right. So he was just kind of like, well, that's the only thing that I can do. Now, what he didn't tell his wife until later was that the upshot of him having to do the duel was that if he lost the duel, she would also be burned alive because
false evidence.
Yeah, because they're saying, well, it's a duel. So if God lets you win, then that means you're telling the truth. But if you lose, that means God says you're lying, and that means your wife is lying, and we will also burn her alive than you being dead.
I'm going to go ahead and reinstate what I said. He had to go to war with it. There was no other way. And it's because It was an honor-based society. To go to the courts and be defeated was to would to be humiliated a third time. So he had to do the duel. Because he was religious, he believed he couldn't lose.
Yeah.
He told her that. He says, if I lose, they're going to kill you for false testimony against him. He goes, but it's not possible for me to lose because we're innocent. He fucking meant that.
Yeah.
He believed in trial by ordeal. He didn't think he could lose.
But another thing that's really interesting about this, because like I said, what they do is the first chapter is from Matt Damon's point of view. I'm using Matt Damon.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Right, yeah.
John.
Yeah.
The first one's from his point of view. Then it's from Adam Driver's point of view, which is actually funny because he obviously like sees himself as like the studly master of all like women everywhere, which is probably like where some of the problem came about. And then you have the third part, which is actually from her point of view. And the interesting thing about it is that I kind of feel like I said, I think what she described is probably way closer to what actually happened. But the interesting thing about it is that, and I like that Ridley Scott kind of explored this because this is absolutely the way it was during this time period, is that her husband didn't really care so much that she'd been raped. He cared that was, I mean, even rape back then was not seen as like an offense against a woman. It was like a property crime is what it was.
Yeah.
So
it was like stealing.
Yeah. So he was more worried about his honor. About his former friend, like, fucking him. He didn't really care. Because, honestly, when she, you know, he was beating the crap out of her, saying, you're telling the truth. She's like, yes, I'm telling, you know, of course. And then, basically, he was like, oh, well, we have to fuck now so that he's not the last man that was with you. And she's like, yeah, I'd kind of rather not.
Yeah, he's trying to race.
No, you have to.
Yeah, he was trying to race it.
Right. And so like I said, nobody really cared. And then, well, I was going to say something else, but I can't because it'll spoil the end.
Right. Yeah,
but it's like nobody really cared about her in particular.
Yeah.
She was just kind of like,
well,
and the thing about it was that he had been gone because he was gone all the time. He was like off doing battles and stuff because, you know, that was the way he made money. And she ran his shit while he was gone. And
he wasn't too good at running the farm.
Yeah, really. And she never really got appreciation for, like, running shit, like, in his absence, like, successfully.
But you also kind of had to see things from his point of view. It was a pretty barbaric time, and the only reason why he had that, basically, that little castle and all that fucking fiefdom with the peasants and everything is because he was out there kicking ass.
Well,
that was
the only way that he made money.
Well, that was also the only way he could survive.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he was illiterate. He wasn't, like I said, he wasn't a real good at politicking or schmoozing
or
anything like that.
If he didn't avenge her rape through this duel, his ass would have been grass. Especially after the fuck. Even if the accusation didn't come up. Because Jacques and the other guys would have come back for seconds, thirds, and fourths and would have constantly punked him out behind his back and then laughed about him. And then the other knights would have heard about it and his esteem would have went down, down, down. And then nobody'd take him off to war because he's a cuck. Those men would fucking gang up on him. And the next thing you know, she loses her home. He loses all his land. They take his shit and replace him with another fucking knight. So there's no choice. I understand the manly dilemma he was in. The other guys would have dogpiled him on him and that would have been the end of him. And the end of her.
It was a bad situation for everybody involved.
Right.
But like I said, it's interesting because, you know, even her mother-in-law, who she super did not get along with, by the way, and lived at their house, but she was also kind of like, the mother-in-law was like, look, I've been raped too. Like, just keep your mouth shut about it.
The mother-in-law says it happened all the time and they didn't tell the husband. And that's what Jacques says, is better not tell your husband. He might kill you.
Yeah, which probably,
that
would happen.
Yeah, that could happen,
but
too.
But she was absolutely... I mean, the thing about her character, and it's interesting because, like I said, you don't really get much of a sense of her as a character until the third part of the movie. Because the structure is, like, you know, it's from this guy's point of view, and, you know, then the second guy's point of view, and then, like, from her point of view. So you're seeing her through their eyes.
They all basically told the same story. They just characterized the story a little bit different, gave different backgrounds as to why it happened.
I mean, I really liked, there were, like, little details. It's not,
Jacques says she was asking for it. She was flirting with him.
Yeah, but then they show what actually happened later, where she's like, "Yeah, I kind of looked at him." Like, she was talking about him, and she's like, "Look, husband, this is how you have to like pretend to be nice to people." And then she kind of went and like smiled at him, and he's like, "Oh, she digs me." You know what I mean?
She was trying to do courtly politics to get him a favor.
She was trying to show her husband how to do it. Like, you have to be friendly to people, and you have to like, you know, you have to ask kiss and stuff like that. So she was showing him that.
Right.
But Adam Driver kind of like perceived it as, "Ooh, she digs me."
No, or at least that's a story he told.
Yeah.
I think he just liked her and he goes, "I'm going to get that." And she's going to keep her mouth shut.
Probably, yeah.
Because he was... This is not a very legalistic society. It's honor-bound society. It's like something you'd find in the Middle East today. It's still around. Fucking, she'd have a lot to lose by fucking fessing up to the rape because he was well-connected. So he was just trying to weasel his way into it. Into some ass.
I think he probably thought because he was had the favor.
He thought she wasn't going to say anything. And he was going to come back.
Yeah.
He was going to come back.
But she was like, "Oh, fuck you. I'm absolutely."
Yeah. I know just what he was saying and his little line, his fucking spiel. He was going to come back repeatedly.
Oh, yeah.
Until he was bored with her.
I'm sure he had planned.
And
that,
they were probably doing that to each other's wives, fucking pretty common back then. And then he would say, "Well, she did it.
Yeah,
she cast a spell on me."
Well, that seems like that's how he kind of perceives it.
Yeah. Look, here's another thing. And fucking people who know medieval history, you know, between England and France and Germany, those dudes were not good dudes, man. Knights and those guys, they were gangsters. That's all they were. They were just gangsters.
Well, and they do kind of show this. I mean, they do have a few redeeming qualities, but generally...
In general, it's a cartel.
Both of the guys are kind of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, her husband is not much better.
Yeah.
Than you can the do rapist. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think he was a good dude in terms of he was very conventional for his time.
Yeah.
He's trying to follow those rules. And he's not raping other people's wives unless I think his mom brought up, well, they go out and rape peasant girls fucking when they're at war.
That's what I'm saying. So
he was probably raping women, but they weren't noble women. They were just peasant women, and he could rape them.
They didn't count.
Yeah, they didn't count.
I mean, they counted even less than wealthy women.
Yeah.
So it's like, they didn't even...
As long as you weren't raping other knights and noble women's wives, you're all right.
Yeah, they didn't. Like I said, they probably didn't even consider that a crime.
No.
Because they didn't belong to anybody.
They didn't belong to anybody.
Like I said, rape was a property crime up until... quite a long way after this.
Yeah, there were no human rights. There were no human rights. There were just human abilities. They had the ability to do this, so they did it.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to do it. So, you know, just the way it was. And what's funny is it's just left to their own devices, society's kind of just evolved in that direction. Just human history was mostly like that. They were just, if you were fearsome, you got your way. If you were in a big gang, you got your way. And, you know, the modern nation state is just an extension of that. Not that different. Good.
But the interesting thing about this movie is that even though it's essentially showing the same series of events from three perspectives, there's enough variation in the perspectives that it actually makes it really good.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's some really good, like, funny little touches in there that, like, when you see things from a different point of view, like, for example, when you see... Remember that scene where Adam Driver's character, like, where he goes in front of the court and he's, like, protesting his innocence? And he does that thing with his cape where he's, like, swishing it around. And so you're seeing from his point of view, he was all, like, fantastic and all this other shit. But when you see it from someone else's point of view, it looked kind of lame. Or, like, he was, like, trying too hard or something like that. It was just, like, I liked the way that... that there was just little touches like that. Because it's not like the same exact series of scenes just shown from three different perspectives. It is like kind of... there's enough variation in it, like I said, because different shit happened to different people.
Yeah.
You know, enough that you kind of see...
Yeah. I like what Khan said, man. Fucking Khan. Read what Khan said.
Where? Which one?
All three of what he said.
So the question is, did he abuse her? I say yes. Absolutely. Like I said, and the rape from her point of view is like pretty fucking...
Yeah, he raped her.
Brutal.
He raped her.
Yeah.
Then he said the movie failed because these manly virtues are going the way of the dinosaur. The younger people don't understand them.
I don't know. Well, the thing about this movie is that it's Ridley Scott. I think this movie cost $100 million to make. they don't really make movies like this anymore that aren't really aimed toward, like, at least in this big budget of a range. Oh my God, what the fuck is that?
Somebody's
car alarm is
going
off.
Car alarm's going off.
I didn't even know people had car alarms that were beeping all the time anymore. That's
something from another era.
I know. I'm like, turn that shit off. Yeah. But, yeah, it's, like, really distracting, so sorry. But the thing about it is that this seems like a movie that, you know, it's set in medieval times, and it's kind of like, it's geared more toward adults. They don't really make big-budget movies like this, like, geared toward an older crowd, I guess. And I think maybe that was the problem. Like, Ridley Scott, he came out and said the reason that the movie failed, I think it made $30 million, and it cost, like, $100 million. He said, he was basically like, you know, old man yells at cloud, where he was just kind of like, oh, these millennials on their fucking phone. I'm like, you do know millennials are, like, in their 30s and 40s and have their own kids now, right? But, yeah, so there's that. He just complained about millennials because that's all they do is learn stuff on their phone, and if it's not on their phone, they don't want to know. I don't really know. I do think that this movie was geared more toward an older audience, you know, and like I said, they don't really make really big budget movies like this, like geared toward an older audience. Also, it came out at the same time as a bunch of other, like, big movies, and I think so. I think maybe if it had come out, like, at a different time, because it got, like, a lot of critics liked it.
I didn't like the trailer.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, I didn't think the promo was good. This thing, you could play this right alongside Northman. You could play it right again like that, and Excalibur, and Conan. It's like that. It's just they're different movies, but they're as good as they're all as good as each other.
And I'm gonna say too that I mean this isn't. I don't know if I'd call it necessarily an action movie, but there are like some battle sequences.
Yeah.
And the duel at the end is actually like really brutal because, like I said, it's pretty well documented like what happened. So
there's a couple battle scenes, you know, where wars go down, but that's not really what the movie's about. It's mostly about intrigue and characters. The Adam Driver character is pretty cool. The dude that was the rapist, I liked him.
Yeah,
I liked him. He was just a man of his time, and he was kind of superior to the average person of that time. Well, he was definitely superior to the average person of that time. He could read and write Latin. He was educated, and he was evidently a good catch. All the girls liked him, and the girl who got raped, one of her best friends, fucking gave up testimony against her in court to defend him, because she said he likes it. She thought he was handsome, and now she's accusing him of rape. You know what I mean? Even though she knew that she did it, but that's just the medieval mind was not like that.
All right? That bitch.
The medieval
that girl wouldn't be my friend.
She was trying to vie for his attention.
Yeah. Even though everybody knew, like, what a hoe he was.
Everybody knew what he was.
Everybody knew what a hoe he was.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess even in medieval times, those women liked the bad boy, you know? And even though he had money, and he looked good, and he was educated, and he was good at parties, and was fucking had a lot of charisma, and those girls liked him.
Yeah, he was charming.
Yeah, and in his defense to his friend, you know, his friend was the count, was like, did you do it? He's like, no. And he goes, come on, it's important, you know. And he goes, well, I love her. Oh, okay, so you did it. And he goes, basically, you know, so you did it. And he's like, well, yeah. And he goes, well, you got to understand something. These people are simple. You're either a villain or a hero. You got to deny this. You got to deny it 100%. And then he goes, I'll help you out in the courts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's basically what he said. He goes, he's I know you for a long time, man. You get all the women. They all love you. You don't have to rape them. You love her. I know. You love her. Yeah. That's basically what the count was.
Well, and like the funny thing, we were talking about this when we were watching the movie, where he decided that he loved her. Her name's Marguerite, by the way.
Yeah, he loved her, so therefore...
So he's like, you have to love me back. And I was just like, that's not how that works, but okay. But yeah, that's kind of like what...
He assumed that, well, you feel the same way.
Well, his feelings are all that matter.
I think it was a medieval thing where they believed in a lot of things that weren't true. They believe that you couldn't get pregnant by raping somebody because...
Well, they even said that.
They said it several times. They said that science proves. Okay, science. Science proves that a woman cannot get pregnant by rape because they do not experience the little death. They don't come.
Yeah.
So you got to come in order to get fucking pregnant. So they believed that.
They didn't know shit back then.
Yeah.
They were still like putting animals on court at this time period. Like they were accusing animals of
an animal of a crime.
Yeah, like a pig.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
You should have known better.
They did.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the mentality that we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
You
so,
know what I mean?
And I think the mentality, basically, she's reminded what I was talking about. I think that they believe that, I think they would probably say some shit like, well, science proves that if I love you, you love me back, or I wouldn't be feeling that.
Yeah, it's the love beams.
It's
going back.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
forth.
Yeah.
That sounds like the shit they would say.
That's, yeah. That's what they're talking about. But it's just the.
And plus, they kind of go into this a little bit, too. And during this time period, it was kind of like if you were kind of a lady, you were kind of supposed to protest. So it's like you had to, like, push past the protest.
Well, look, man. Kong says the same thing in Mexico. In Mexico, a lot of the shit's still going on. You know, they, you know, in Central and South America, they understand honor-based fucking thinking. You know, they're fighting each other out in the streets and shooting each other and shit in duels. And it's the same thing in Brazilian girls growing up. They're Catholic, so they have to say no. They're throwing themselves at you saying no. And this, we're gonna okay. And then you know they have to. That's. Khan can talk about it. He can explain it probably better than I do. It's just part of their ritual is to resist. And then you go, okay, and they go, where are you going? And they pull you right back. It's teenagers and shit, you know? Because, you know, they got the confession booth.
Yeah, that fixes everything.
Yeah. The Middle East is like that, too. So there's cultural confusions. Fucking the North America is fucking kind of a different situation. You know what I mean? The cultures and the culture's different. What do you call them? The culture's different.
DJ Maniac says, I switched over to night shift starting tonight, so now I'll be working Sunday to Thursday from 10 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. At least I have Friday and Saturday nights free, though. Ooh, that's good. So you'll always be able to, like, come to the stop tracks. That's pretty cool. Well, you've been good about coming to the ones before. But yeah, so I don't know. It makes me sad that, like, this movie wasn't more successful. I guess I can see why. It's not the kind of movie that you would normally see, like, a studio paying $100 million for and then expecting, like, a big... Because it's not a big superhero movie. It's not a big tentpole movie. It's nothing like that.
Yeah, Ridley Scott can make a good movie, but they tend to bomb.
Yeah, I mean, well, like I said, they're more geared toward adults, or he has, like, a very particular kind of, like, subject matter that he likes to make, and a lot of times that's not usually. So, maybe his criticism about millennials, or although, like I said, millennials are kind of older now, so probably he should be, like, talking about younger people than that. But, you know, yeah, younger people probably aren't going to see a movie like this, because it's kind of, like, more of a period drama.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get, like, a lot of teenagers coming to see it, obviously.
Yeah, they wouldn't be interested in this, I don't think.
Probably not.
No, they wouldn't even be able to relate to it, I don't think.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. It depends. I don't really like... And like you said, it's interesting when you said about the trailer, because I was watching another review of this later, like a guy, and he said that when he first saw the trailer, he said, man, that looks boring as fuck.
Yeah, it did.
But then when he actually saw the movie, he's like, oh, that was really good. So, you know what I mean? So
I don't think it got proper promotion.
And like I said, it came out right around the same time as, like, a bunch of other big, like, movies that everybody was going to see.
I think the movie will be remembered, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely...
For this genre. It's good for this genre.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely worth watching. And it's... I really, really liked the structure of it.
Yeah.
You know, where, you get some of the scenes, like, repeated, but you're seeing things from, like, different perspectives, and, like, the behavior is slightly different, depending on who's perceiving who.
It looks real authentic, too.
I thought that was... Yeah, a lot of people, like, before this came out, a lot of people talked about Matt Damon's mullet.
Yeah.
But as far as I could determine, that's pretty period accurate. Yeah. So it does. It looks ridiculous, but that's what their hair looked like back then.
They had some fucking crazy hair in certain places at certain times. One of the ones they had was the Chelsea, and it was nothing but just four locks. The rest of the head was shaved. It was just your bangs. And it's because they had leather and chainmail headdress on top of that, so you didn't want your hair to get caught in your fucking chainmail. So, but you wanted to have hair. So the only hair you could see when they were wearing that damn helmet and outer head garment looking thing was just the front locks. So you had some hair.
Yeah.
And then you took it off and you damn, you bald.
But damn, you bald.
Yeah. But they walked around like that, and it became kind of like a a sign of being a badass.
Probably helped with the lice, too, I'd imagine. Yeah. Like, not having much hair. The lice had to go into your pubes or something.
If that was Saxons or Franks, I don't remember which ones it was that had that. It might have been Saxons. But yeah. No, I think Saxons had long hair. Might have been Normans that had the...
Yeah, I can't really remember.
The Chelsea. It's
been a long time since I've taken European history, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, this is definitely a good flick, definitely worth watching. I think it's on Disney Plus. You know, if you want to watch it, but like I said, we bought the Blu-ray because Dermot sent us to that, so thank you very much, Dermot. I don't know if you're here or not, but this ended up being really good, quite good. All right, so it's almost time for you to check on the food.
Yeah, right.
So we're cooking some food, so we gotta like go check on it. All right, so we will be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as usual. Tomorrow, I think we're going to be talking about Mad God, because we watched that last night, the Phil Tippett movie. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow. So thanks, everybody, for dropping by to see us, and we will see you guys again tomorrow.